This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One who ain't gonna leave before the job is done. One who stay here all night till the morning come. I want him to put up his plywood, stack it real tall, brush it up in Spanish, yeah, and that ain't all. Install the AC to keep me real cool, do it the way I like it and to bring me to. Can you handle the nailing? Can you plaster the wall? Can you lay the foundation? Can you handle the saw? Can you mix up?
And good afternoon, Bahamas. This is The Hit Back. I am Dukwasa D. Dean, hosting today's show. You know, it's Tuesday, and the past few Tuesdays, I've had the privilege of coming and sharing with my guests, talking and interacting with you, and it's been such a wonderful joy to be able to participate in some of these engaging conversations. I just want to say good afternoon to you all, and hey, it's just another Tuesday. Today we're talking all about customer service. Is the customer always right? And if the customer isn't right, when is the customer wrong? When the customer is wrong, though, how do we handle the customer? So we are going to be talking all about customer service. We'll be talking about the state of service in our country. We'll be talking about elevating customer service, if customer service is even necessary. So this is going to be a conversation focused wholly on customer service. To participate in the conversation today, please text in 422-4796. That's text in 422-4796. I am often thrilled to get your comments, so please participate. Also, the phone lines, if you want to call in, the phone lines are 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. As just before we get into our show today, I do have an announcement from the Ministry of Health. The Ministry of Health announcement states that COVID-19 vaccines and boosters are now available at South Beach Clinic on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. On Wednesdays at Flamingo Gardens Clinic, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., Elizabeth Estates Clinic from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., and Fleming Street Clinic from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. The Mall at Marathon is open Monday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So you can visit vax.gov.bs to book an appointment or simply walk into any of those locations. I am so happy to have joining me from Grand Bahama today, an amazing corporate trainer. This is a young lady I've had the opportunity to work with over the past few years, particularly on job readiness programs, as we work to equip young people to be prepared and to be successful in the workplace. My guest today is a certified corporate trainer, a motivational speaker, a life coach, and a writer. She is the president of DAPS, which stands for Developing Attitudes for Potential Success, Corporate Training, and Business Services. She believes that your attitude determines your altitude and is passionate about motivating others to develop and maintain positive attitudes and to realize their full potential in life. As a corporate trainer, she specializes in soft skills training, such as customer service, effective communication skills, leadership skills, and team building. Over the past 15 years, just to let you see how much experience you're having access to today, she's conducted seminars and workshops for many local companies and organizations. She's a member of the board of directors for the National Training Agency, a visionary life coach who is passionate about helping women to discover their purpose as well. And so, Deborah Pratt, welcome to today's show. It is an honor and a privilege to have you participate in this conversation today.
And thanks so much, Jaquessa, and it is a pleasure for me to be here. And good afternoon to your radio listeners.
Awesomeness. Listen, customer service is such a general topic, right? It's a huge topic to touch and to really dissect in a way that we can begin to teach behaviors. But I believe that customer service is more than behaviors. We can train behaviors, yes. Customer service is more than an attitude. It's for me as a coach as well, customer service is more about a lifestyle. And a lifestyle that starts from we're young. If we look back over, you know, our lives, your life, my life, and perhaps many of the other outstanding service providers in our country, one of the things that we will more than likely discover is that from a very young age, we had a desire to serve, to assist, and to help other people. Yes. As we begin to frame our conversation about customer service today, tell me, in your opinion, what is the state of service in our country today?
Wow. Thank you so much, Jaquessa. What is the state of service in our country today? First, I want to, before I answer that directly, I just want to comment on something that you said about, as you were speaking earlier, service being something that it's something that we, a lot of us, in terms of the common courtesy, those manners that we should have been taught about as children, that we should have been taught as children. And that is exactly what service is. Now, what is the state of service in our country today? If I were to give it a rating between 1 and 10, with 1 being the lowest and 10 being highest, I would probably say between 4 and 5. In some cases lower than they are, to be honest. In some cases, depending on the establishments that you go to, it may be a little higher. But borderline, I would say between 4 and 5, because there's definitely a lot of room for improvement.
Absolutely. I agree with you. There is a lot of room for improvement in our customer service delivery. You know, your rating is, you know, I'd give it at max a 4, because yes, there have been times when we have encountered some outstanding service interactions. However, recently, you know, even through social media, we've been noticing a lot of people complaining about the type of service that they're being provided in restaurants, in retail organizations. So it's not just one area, but holistically across the board, we've been seeing a lot of complaints about service generally. Our texter is saying that right off the top, outside of tourism services, I think our Bahamas has the worst customer service in the region. Sad to say, but as a Bahamian, that's what I see. Yes. Now, you know, Debbie, I thought about this subject last week simply because I traveled a bit last week. And I'm just going to tell you, service was non-existent. I started to think about what is this big demand for customer service that we in the Caribbean are always talking about and berating. And, you know, but when I traveled last week, what I recognize is that there was a pure lack of customer service in the state that I was in. And that just gave me pause, because these are people that usually come to our country on vacation, because, of course, I'm in the United States. They come to our country on vacation. And do they really have the expectation of a certain level of service, or are we imposing that expectation on our employees because we believe is what those customers want? And I really pondered that question for a while. Do you think that service or the need for good service is something that is imposed on us because it is a belief that it's what our customers are looking for? Because compared to reality, I really didn't see great service last week. So what are your thoughts about that?
My thoughts on that, whether or not it's something that people are looking for, and believe me when I say that most people are looking for it, it is something that we are obligated to give. I don't think we should say, well, I wonder if these persons really expecting this good service. Do we really have to encourage our employees to give good service? Most people people don't expect good service. They just come, they just want whatever product or service it is that they're there to purchase and they'll leave. No, we have to realize how important excellent customer service is and being able to deliver that service and how it can be so advantageous to our companies. So whether it's something that most people would expect or not, we should actually try and deliver it. Because whether they're expecting it or not, the fact that they receive it, that can go a long way. Just shock them with the good service, wow them with that good service. Hey, I didn't expect that. But when they do receive it, they will appreciate it yes. because they will realize that it is something different from what they are used to being offered.
Yes.
And that itself can cause customers to keep coming back to you and actually referring your company to other persons as well.
Yeah, that would definitely set you apart. Yeah,
yes.
That would definitely set you apart from your competitors. I texted yes. saying that it's a great show. In Nassau, we give piss poor customer service unless the customer mm-hmm. is white, because we give great service once you have an accent. But to local people, piss poor service. That wow. is really some passion right there in that text, right?
Wow.
Yes. And so, you know, as I think about the difference in the service levels that are in the country today, and when I reflect on the years when I was younger, you know, I remember watching my Uncle Eddie. As a matter of fact, he worked at that time when it was Nassau Beach Hotel. I watched him as he, with pride, got dressed. He was a waiter, and he would get up and have his clothes pressed out nice and well. He would make sure that he was fresh and clean, immaculate, as he left the house to go off to his job at the Nassau Beach Hotel at that time. And it gave him great pride to serve. He'd come home and he'd talk about the guests and the tourists and the relationships that he was able to build with those people. And it made me wonder, what's different about today? Today, it seems as if we don't have that same sense of pride, that same sense of relationship building with our customers. And I started to wonder, does this go back to parenting? Because, you know, back in the day, our grandparents knew what mm-hmm. it was to have mm-hmm. lack. They knew what it was to come through independence, to fight to be an independent nation, to be recognized. And they saw hardship that many of us haven't seen in our lives, right? We grew up in what we would call better times. And so do you think that that has anything to do with the decline in customer service in our country?
I really do think so, that to some extent it does. To some extent it does. As you said, compared to what we would have seen in the past, the passion that people had for what they did, the pride that they had for what they did. Unfortunately, DeQuessa, from my observation, in today's society, for most persons, their job is just a job. They don't take, it's just a job. They're just there passing the time, waiting until payday, the end of the week, the end of the month. And I know, to be fair, that there are actually some who really do perform. But I'm just talking about generally, from the most part, from my observation, for most persons, it is just a job. And that is why that pride may not be there. And it could also be, as you said, in terms of the training that they may have received at home, because as I said earlier, all of this stems from the way that we are brought up in most cases. Customer service, to me, it is just that manners, that common courtesy that you should have been taught as a child, and you just take that into the workplace. And unfortunately, and I guess it goes too with the younger persons having children over the years, et cetera, so many things have changed in terms of how our children are being raised, and therefore the way that they were raised compared to the way persons may have been raised back in the day, as you referred to, definitely different. And therefore, they don't have that same pride that is also displayed in a workplace. The way that they were raised, the things that they were allowed to get away with, not saying thank you, not saying please, etc. They take that into the workplace.
Boy, that's some deep stuff right there, right? Because I know, like, as a child back in the day, you would often hear my grandmother and my mom and aunts and family members brag about the Bahamas being a place for sun, sand, and sea. But the pull was really the people, yes. the generosity and kindness of the people. And, you know, I can say that that has truly changed. We are still sand. We are still sun. Our people, however, there can be a marked improvement in our attitude towards service and towards our guests, as tourism is our number one industry. I have a texter sharing that I will come out and say that ever since gratuity is added on the food service, it became lackluster and just extremely bad, which means the incentive was removed because you would get a gratuity anyway. So, Debbie, in your opinion, and I'll share mine later, what do customers really want? Well, what do customers really want from us?
Well, what customers really want, but going back to what you said about the gratuity first, I always say, even though the gratuity may be added, if you actually go above and beyond and deliver excellent service, you may actually get an additional tip or something from that customer. So don't just feel as if, well, gratuity is here, I'm going to get the gratuity anyway. Still go above and beyond in the way that you are serving that customer. Now, what do customers really want? Generally, it is said that wherever you go to do business, there are four basic needs or wants that most customers have. And it isn't anything so technical either. Customers, they just want to feel like they are welcomed. When they step into your establishment, as far as just acknowledging that customer, sometimes you go into a business establishment and you're not even acknowledged. If the persons in the business are busy doing something, they might not even acknowledge you, your presence. They continue doing whatever it is until they get to you. But customers just want to be acknowledged. They want to be respected. They want to feel as if they are important to your establishment and just not a number, just another customer. They want to feel important. And there are so many things that you can do, and I guess some of it will come up as we go through this conversation, things that they can do to make their customers feel important, things that people can do to make their customers feel welcomed. Customers just, they want to feel as if they are appreciated, as if you appreciate them coming into your business.
Yes, yes, Debbie. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. To our listening audience, text us and let us know as a customer, what do you want? That's 422-4796. We'd love to hear from you as a customer. What do you want? Now, Debbie, customers are different, right? That's one of the things that I recognize. And as a trainer, it's one of the things that I really drive home to the participants in our class, that customers want different things because they're different people. No one experience will mirror another, which is why teaching customer service behaviors is good, but it can't stop there because, you know, every customer has a different expectation. They want something different. You know, customers want things as simple as individual attention. Have you ever gone into a business establishment and have the congregation of employees who look at you like you're an annoyance when you walk in the door? Customers want to know that they can get individualized attention from you. So it's, you know, it's not to say you can't have conversations with your coworkers. However, when a guest enters, it should be, and a guest is anyone. That's whether that's a restaurant, a retail business, whether that's a hotel, it doesn't matter. Wherever you go as the customer, when you enter that establishment, those employees should immediately disband and give individual attention. As a customer, I can tell you that I value honesty. Girl, let me tell you about the other day I went dress shopping. And I saw this dress that I really, really liked, right? I was like, wow, that's going to look the bomb on me. Now, I know I'm not the shape for the dress, right? But I went in the dressing room and I put that dress on. I came out and I said to the sales lady, I said, girl, I said, how does dress look on me? She said, ma'am, that color is so beautiful on your skin. I have something, though, that I think would really knock you out of the park. Never did she say, oh, you don't look good. But she alluded to the fact that that wasn't the right thing by looking for something complimentary to say. But she was honest. Had she just wanted to make a sale, she could have. And it would have resulted in, you know, when I catch myself later and ask myself, girl, why you buy that? A distrust of that individual at that store. So even simple things like that, customers value our honesty. As well. Yeah. Now, when I say honesty, I am talking about class. I'm not talking about throwing your organization under the bus, because, I mean, how many people really want to hear you complaining about you don't get paid enough, or want to hear you complaining about your no one come in your store or your business to hear you complaining about your whole entire life, right?
That should never happen.
Right. So, so I have a texter saying that in the Bahamas, people do as if they're doing you a favor by serving you. I went to a restaurant. The service was so bad. I told them I will take my food and eat it in the car. And it was on my birthday. True story. Wow. If I lying, I flying. Man, that's so sad. On your birthday? That really, really, I'm so sorry to hear that text. You know, text is also saying, I want to feel like a king when I go out, because I have a rent, a car company, and my rule is customer is king. I treat a customer special so that they could come back. And Dexter, you are so correct, right? Because when we treat our customers as if they're special, they absolutely do want to return. So,
and
so
Debbie, also recommend other customers.
Yes, and referrals. So just like coming from what our texter is saying, that the customer is king. Mm-hmm. Is the customer always right, though?
Is the customer always right? I like to say, well, I usually use this example. I worked in banking for many years, and I always say a customer could have come in and deposited $100. He could have come back later on that same day and say, well, I was here early today to make a deposit of $1,000. But after I left, I realized that the teller only put $100 on my account. If the customer is always right and we abide by that rule and the customer is never wrong, then we would have automatically had to put the additional $900 on. But of course, that would not have happened. We would have had to do our research, etc. So we know that the customer may not always be right. However, that phrase was coined to show how important the customer is to your establishment. So I like to say the customer may not always be right, but the customer is the one who pays your salary. A lot of persons don't seem to realize that. They feel like somehow their boss, their managers, the business owners just signed a way to pay them. If everyone realized that it is these same customers that are coming to your establishment, they are the ones who are helping you to be paid, then you will treat the customer like a king. You will treat the customer like he or she is all right.
Absolutely.
Even when they are wrong, yes. You will make them feel as if they are right.
Yes, it's always in how you handle the situation. Obviously, the customer can't always be right. But when they're wrong, it's how you treat the customer in helping them to resolve their challenge. We have a caller on the line. I'd like to interact with our caller at this time. Caller, welcome to the Hit Back.
Yes, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, well, I can count the time on my good service on my finger from when I'm 43 years old.
Wow.
Going out. And it cost me not to go certain places, I will pass them. Even if I know they have good service, where I wouldn't want to get let down no more. You know?
Yes.
And the other thing is that, you know, but don't like over here, they judge people. So they look at people by how they dress and certain way. Mm-hmm. So they think now who can tip them good and all. And the people who they think can tip them, they don't even leave a tip.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know?
That's true.
So they're supposed to straight round the board. You're supposed to treat everyone like, don't care how they look, if they drop wearing slippers or whatever.
Yes.
You know, because you don't know what you can't judge the people from the other parents.
That's the truth.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And the thing with it, man, I mean, it's just like they're doing you a favor. You know? Mm-hmm. And then it takes too long to come back and ask you what you need and want, then the food service. See, I think a lot of these restaurants need to train them too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They only could do what the people allow them to do, you know, like the people who own, like the supervisors and managers. They only could do. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
So a lot of these places, it's not getting run down from the staff. It's the people who they have in charge. Because the person who on the floor, supervising the floor, should be picking up on what's going on. How long? You're taking too long to be on the table.
Yes.
You know, each one of them should have enough time to hit each table.
Yes.
You know, I've been in a restaurant, the food came out so late. They tried to bring out everything one time. And I had to walk up. Mm-hmm. And the food, guess what? The food was cold.
Wow.
You know, and they were supposed to place out best.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And they really need to step up their game. That's why I don't really like the gold no more. Mm-hmm. But then I'm thinking about it because, you know, it's a lot of bad service. And I can't blame certain the employees because the people who are in charge have to train the people. And then if you aren't doing it right, you can't. I hire my cousin or sister, whatever. If you aren't doing the job, just let them go.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Yes.
Paula, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for your contribution today. And you know what? That's what the reality of the situation is. You know, John Maxwell says that everything rises and falls on leadership. If you have weak leadership, you're going to have weak operations. And so it's super important that even our leaders are trained. However, I want to go a step further in that, though, Debbie, because what are we training them in? A lot of our businesses really have to train their leadership on what their values are, you know, what their vision, what their mission is, how they want their customers to be served. Because let's just be real. There are times when people are thrown into positions without any training and they do whatever they know how to do, which could be limited by their experience. What do you think about that?
Yes, and I totally agree with you, and I totally agree with your caller. Managers, supervisors, etc. I can tell you, the Questa, every training that I do, it never fails. And I've been training for years. Every single training that I do, especially when it comes down to customer service, I always hear from the line staff, the subordinates in the session, they always say, our managers need to be here or our supervisors need to be here.
Yes.
You know, we're training these persons, and I'm sure you probably have experienced the same thing. Persons being sent to training, usually they would be the subordinates or the line staff in the organization. You're training them, and they would usually say these things they are not seeing their managers or their supervisors do. So it starts with leadership.
Yeah.
Leadership themselves have to be trained as well. What do I think about persons just being thrown in a position? That should never happen. Most or many organizations, I should say, don't seem to understand the importance of training. Mind you, they were trained in the skills that may be necessary depending on the job, those technical skills, but companies have to realize how important those soft skills, like customer service, how important it is to train in those areas as well.
Absolutely.
Sometimes people may feel like, well, customer service isn't something that you need to train in. These people should know exactly what to do. That's what how a lot of them feel. But persons need training, and the training should also be ongoing. There
Absolutely.
Should be regular refreshers.
Absolutely.
They need training. So it isn't when you actually hire someone and just put them in a position, it's detrimental to your company if you don't take the time to ensure that they are properly trained and not just the technical side of things in terms of for the restaurant, how to serve, et cetera, but in customer service as well, because they are representing your company.
Yes.
And bad service can actually break your company.
Yes.
Employees, they make or break your company.
And those are so powerful and valid points, Debbie. And you know what the reality is, and what I wish more companies would recognize, is that people grow up and they come from different backgrounds. Not everyone was taught manners. Not everyone was taught to take a daily bath. Not everyone was taught how to handle conflict. Not everyone was taught the mannerisms that are important and those social skills that are important in networking and meeting client expectations. So if you take for granted the person that you've hired have those skills or has those skills, then you're setting your business up for failure. It's important for you to, one, know what to vet your employees for. What are you looking for when you hire for a customer service role? Because sometimes we get so desperate, we hire whatever is available and who we could pay at the lowest salary and put them in position, and that works against our company. We have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome to the Hit Back. Messages. So a texter says, I want to feel the customer in the store. I hate being ignored or having to seek out someone to assist me. In the very least, I expect to be asked if I need help. The texter also says that in my own company, I also tell people I own my company and the customer is the only one who could fire me. And also my rule is I always say good morning with a smile. Why do fast food restaurants always get your order wrong? They need a third window to give them the wrong food they give you. And also, why are we on the drive-thru for an hour for fast food that ain't fast food, that's slow food? thank you so very much. So, Debbie, you were about to say something. So sorry about that. It may have been in response to not everyone not coming from similar backgrounds and companies not taking for granted that people have those common mannerisms or those expected mannerisms.
Right. Also, too, because you had mentioned, this is what I meant to say, you had asked the question, what are we training them in terms of our values? What are the values? What is your company's vision? What is your company's mission? All of this, your employees need to be taught because all of this helps to align them with bringing your vision into reality. In terms of your company's vision, your company's mission, what are those values that your company has? All of that is a part of that training that they should get initially and not just actually be put on the job. But if they can understand your vision for your company, if they understand the values that they have, then that, along with the customer service training that they get, should help them to bring out that vision that you have for your organization.
Absolutely.
That is what I wanted to add, yes.
You know, Debbie, and I agree with you because it also can't be a one-time conversation. It has to be continuous and ongoing. And that's why those huddles are so important, whether you decide to have them weekly or monthly. But those huddles, you have to get together with your staff. And that's important for you to understand what they're going through, but also for you to continue the messages of why you're in business, how you make business, why they contribute, how they contribute, why their contribution is important. And if we begin to lose customers, ultimately, what does that mean? It means that we lose jobs. So taking it right back to the what's in it for me principle, if we got employees to understand that at the end of the day, poor service or me delivering poor service to a customer is really cutting nose to spite my face, because that's potentially a customer that leaves, a company that causes reputational impact is already going to cause revenue impact. So should I treat this customer poorly because I'm in a bad mood, or should I understand that it is as a result of this customer that I could pay my mortgage, I could pay my rent, I could buy my food, I could pay my car note, I could buy a grocery, I could put my children through school. So just understanding the what's in it for me process, but it can't be a one-time conversation. It has to be a continuous journey of reminding employees of why they are working. I have a texter saying that I think all this bad service come from we look for cheap labor, people who willing to work for little or nothing. Thank you so much, texter. We need to take a break at this moment. We are having such an engaging conversation. Remember to contribute to the conversation. Please go ahead and text 422-4796. That's 422-96. Or call us on 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. While we're on the break, we'd love to see your comments coming in about the general state of service in our country. We'll be back right on the other side of the break.
This traffic report is brought to you by Shield Insurance and Prudential Law Suggestors.
First look at traffic this afternoon in West Bay Street. Already have a crowd headed out west, so it's a slow ride once you leave the Fort Shallow area to get west, and doesn't give you a break until you get past the roundabout there at Saunders Beach. In the Southwest region, Gladstone Road not a bad ride now getting out onto JFK, but boy, it's the Malabala Highway still have heavy traffic going into that intersection. It's a slow ride leaving Carmichael Road to get onto Blue Hill Road at this hour, but it's in the inner city area where we see traffic is really slowed down. Along Wolf Road, the traffic is leaving on Marathon Road to get to Wolf Road. Mackey Street in the Palmdale area itself, seeing a lot of traffic, afternoon traffic. Same thing is happening on Village Road. It will get a lot crowded within the next hour or so. You can see that for sure. But for now, it's your typical afternoon traffic flow that's happening in the streets. No information is coming to our traffic control center yet of any incidents or accidents that should cause us any concern at this particular hour. This NASA traffic report this hour being brought to you by the folks over at J.S. Johnson, giving you more than 100 years of full insurance service here in the country. You can give them a call at 397-2100. That's 397-2100. With your first look at traffic, I'm VAAA.
Michael was in a horrible car accident. Prudential Loss Adjusters managed his claim and got him the settlement he deserved. Sierra's roof received hurricane damage. Thanks to Prudential, she and her kids are happy with their claim settlement. Tammy fractured her ankle in a slip and fall. Prudential saved her time, money, and peace of mind. Prudential Loss Adjusters are here for you when he strikes. Call 322-4026 now.
Don't wait for disaster to strike. This hurricane season, be ready. Protect your home with an affordable and comprehensive home insurance policy from Shield Insurance. You can't control what nature blows your way, but with Shield Insurance, you can rest easy as you ride out the storm. Protect your largest and most valuable investment. Don't take a chance. Put your home in our hands.
Shield Insurance agents and brokers in Nassau. Call 356-7202 or Freeport 352-5945.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 Insurance.
Did you know the bacteria that causes TB can live in your body without making you sick? This is called latent TB infection. People with strong immune systems can live with no symptoms of TB, have a normal chest x-ray, and not infect others. However, if the immune system becomes weakened, then latent TB may turn into active TB and can make you and the people around you very sick. If you or someone you know begins to experience coughing that lasts 3 weeks or longer, coughing up blood, weight loss, night sweats, pain in the chest, weakness or tiredness, chills or fever, contact your healthcare provider or the Ministry of Health Tuberculosis Surveillance Unit at 502-4728 or 502-4803 immediately. These are signs that latent TB may have become active TB. Tuberculosis is preventable and curable. The clock is ticking. Let's end TB.
This has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com. Visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 for Freeport.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number, they see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Treatment Centers of America.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Work, work, work. Every person must work, work hard. Cause if you're not working, yeah, you gotta be loafing. And if you're not loafing, then daddy, you gotta be joking. You must work, and don't be a jerk. Every person must work, work hard. Hanging out at street corners when you should be at school, that won't make you a rich man, that will make you a fool. Every person must work, 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 work hard. Working is a thing that you should love. Working is a thing that
every passing must work.
And welcome back to the Hit Back. Boy, Ali, you have me bouncing in here, remembering those good old days. This is Tukwasa Dedean hosting today's episode of the Hit Back. I am here with Deborah Pratt, a certified corporate trainer, motivational speaker, life coach, and president of DAPS, Corporate Training and Business Services. Before we get back into the show, I'd like to share a message from the Ministry of Health. Has it been 5 months since your second COVID-19 vaccine? Then don't forget your booster. Getting your COVID-19 vaccine and booster can prevent you from missing important job opportunities and special occasions abroad. Don't wait until it's too late. Visit vax.gov.bs to book an appointment or simply walk in locations. We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to the Hit Back.
Hey.
Hi.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in a drive-thru.
So sorry about that. Your timing was just a little bit bad. We had to go to a break. But thank you for your patience. We apologize profusely for the wait.
No problem. Now, in business, responses and reactions can, it makes or break a business. Okay, now I have a whole bunch of friends, who in the hotels, right? And they say they make their money primarily because they are able to anticipate. When a customer walks in the door, they plan to anticipate every need that customer may have.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of tips they make is swing around the issue of them able to pump something in place before the customer asks for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know some guys who don't touch their salary.
Awesome.
Anticipation is the key to all business, I guess.
Yes. Thank you so much for that, caller. Yeah. We appreciate your participation today. Debbie, what do you think about caller's contribution?
I definitely think, too, that is always said in customer service training, being able to anticipate your customer's needs. That itself makes a customer feel so important. Going back to an example with a restaurant, as we've been using examples from restaurants all along, a customer comes in. As a part of good customer service, you should know your customers. If this is a regular customer who is always coming in, and you say to your customer, are you having the regular? That makes that customer feel so important. As soon as you see him stepping in there, you can anticipate his needs because he always comes in every day for this same particular thing. Things like that always makes customers feel important and they want to continue doing business with you.
Yes.
So generally in anticipating customers' needs, you see that, you know that you have several customers who are always coming in for a particular thing. You can see that you're running low on whatever this is. You make sure that stock. All of this goes a long way in providing excellent customer service.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And you know, the art of cross-selling is an art because cross-selling can also become like salesy, which can turn your customers off. But the basis of cross-selling begins with the relationship. So once you take your time, even in a 5-minute conversation with a customer, the art of cross-selling could be introduced because you've first taken the opportunity to get to know your customer a little bit. You've asked questions, you've gathered needs. And now from knowing what your customers need, you can cross-sell in a way that builds relationship versus in a way that turns the customer off. I just want to read a few of our text messages before we have to go to the news. A text message says, I suspect when cultures got mixed up like conch salad, the old Bahamian way and pride flew out of the window. Says, I don't know. Next text message says, good afternoon, Ms. Dean. I feel that the service in restaurants in particular and elsewhere has diminished because of tips that have been automatically included in the bill. I feel tips should be earned, and it is not fair from an employee who may have been rude to a customer to receive an automatic tip. You know, Debbie, the gratuity has been a debatable conversation for quite some time, right? That automatic 15%, does it hinder excellent customer service? And I will say that it really depends on the individual, because there are some employees who have that natural service ability, who care about their customers, who are going to serve regardless of the tip or not. And then you have that customer or that employee who is not comfortable with the job, trying to make money to pay these bills. They don't care about the business. They will give you slack service. You get your food right, so what you complain about type service.
Right.
And still get that tip. So I think it's a double-edged sword. I think that it is a double-edged sword, which is why it's super important. And after the news break, we're going to come back and talk about how we can help employees to reframe. How do we now look at those toxic behaviors and also look at toxic cultures? Because toxic work cultures lead to the demoralization of employees who are now serving your customers. So if your employee isn't happy, then how can you expect a happy customer? We'll pick that conversation up right after the news break.
Okay.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to the Hit Back. Yes, work, work, work. Oh, wow. Has she had a baby as yet? I wonder if she's given birth as yet. But anyway, that's another subject. As we are back on the Hit Back, I'd like to share this message from the Ministry of Health. COVID-19 vaccines and boosters are safe, effective, and protect you against getting seriously ill, being hospitalized from the COVID-19 virus. The vaccine offers the best protection against COVID-19 when combined with physical distancing, hand washing or sanitizing, and wearing your face masks properly. Visit vax.gov.bs to book an appointment or simply walk into any of our locations. And yes, I'm so excited to be here having this conversation with corporate trainer, motivational speaker, life coach, and writer, Deborah Pratt, president of DAPS Corporate Training, based in Grand Bahama, but virtually globally throughout the world, training people in soft skills such as customer service, effective communication skills, leadership skills, and team building. As a corporate trainer myself, I find it a privilege to be here and to understand that we share so many of the same values. So Debbie, again, thank you for being here on The Hip Back. So right before we pick up our conversation, I'd like to share the texter says right off the top. Outside of tourism services, I think that our Bahamas has the worst customer service in the region. Here is one thing that is customer service 101 that I think 70% of us Bahamians fail in customer service. Eye contact and a smile. Simple concept, but we don't do it. Thank you so very much, Texter. You are correct. They are definitely important components of the relationship with building trust with our customers. Debbie, we're going to start our conversation now about toxic work environments. And if you're listening to the show today, please go ahead and text 422-4796 or call in at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. We'd really like to hear your thoughts about how a toxic work environment affects Texas and let us know your opinion on the toxic work environment and its relation to poor service delivery. As we wait on our text messages to come in, though, Deborah, and we look at toxic work environments, how do you believe they impact proper customer service delivery?
Thank you for that question, Nequesta. A toxic work environment will definitely have a great impact for the negative on customer service. Definitely. And a lot of times we expect so much from our employers. They expect so much. And employees should definitely be willing to give that excellent service. However, leadership needs to know that it begins with them as well. You can't expect to treat your employees any type of way, to talk to them any kind of way, as if they are children when you are dealing with adults, but yet you expect them. That can only happen for so long because these are human beings that we are dealing with. So internally, whatever issues, whatever problems you may be having internally, employers, managers, supervisors have to have that open door policy where employees feel comfortable coming and talking with their supervisors, with their managers, et cetera. Talking with respect, however, but not feeling so intimidated as if they cannot come into your office and talk to you about any concerns that they may have. That toxic environment, people not speaking to each other on the job, all of that goes a long way in determining the type of service that your employees give. If you feel like they are being treated with respect, if they feel like you appreciate them for what they do, you would be surprised how much more or better service they may be inclined to give. So it definitely starts internally as well in terms of the type of environment you are setting for your staff.
I mean, we spend the vast majority of our waking hours on through the week at work in somebody's environment that we're being paid to be there. And so having a good working environment, it aids the service process. If there is fair opportunity where everyone has the opportunity to have equal pay for the work that they do, fairness as it relates to promotions and opportunities for growth. If you find that in the environment, you get more stimulated. And the reality is the better your employees are, the more they grow, the more they learn, the higher your organization could elevate because you are capped by the experience and the knowledge of your employees. So if you want your business to grow, it would then be a no-brainer to develop your employees because the more they grow, the more they do, and the more they do, the more it advances your company. And you know, Deborah, you keep talking about this thing that employees are watching, they're seeing. And it's another journal that simply says that people do what they see. So if you want your employees to give great service, then it's super important for you to demonstrate what that means. Like if an employee is having a difficult time with a customer and you running and hiding and you don't want to deal with the customer, but you're the supervisor, you letting them know that it's not important And they can handle the customer any way that they feel. And all of these things make for a toxic work environment. So what is a good environment? That's what organizations and businesses really have to think about. What is a good work environment that encourages employees to come to work? I have some text messages here. It says, employees need to also act like they are grown at work and working for a salary and not doing you a favor by working for you. I've seen this behavior and can attest to that behavior being a business owner. Listen, this texter is so correct because we have this entitlement. Where does that entitlement seep into work atmospheres? Like, why do employees feel entitled to have that job?
And I do agree with the caller. The caller may have said that when I said something in reference to the employers, treating the employees like children. But some employees, they really have to learn to act more mature. They may act like children. Now, I'm not saying that gives the employer the right to treat them that way. However, employees have to take some responsibility as well. Employees really do feel entitled. They really do feel entitled, as you said, some people do. But they have to understand, well, this is a job. If I want to get paid, there are certain duties and responsibilities that I have to perform. I have to perform. So don't just feel like I am entitled to being here. I'm entitled to the salary that I'm getting paid if you are not performing, if you're not doing exactly what it is. And when you ask where that came from, you know, I often say, I'm going to use this example. Sometimes people say, well, a lot of persons may get a job because of who they know, or in terms of politicians, et cetera. If you are fortunate to get a job that way, do not feel like, hey, you cannot say anything to me because my MP sent me here or because I know so-and-so. If you are fortunate to get a job that way, I think you should even perform even more. You should show that you deserve this, that you earned this, and don't feel that, hey, I am entitled to this. This is something that was given to me. You can't say anything to me. And that attitude happens a lot in terms of persons, because they got the job because of who they know, they go there and they don't want to respect the supervisor or manager because they feel like, hey, John Doe gave me this job. But John Doe holds you accountable and lets you know, I gave you this job and I expect you to perform on the job.
Yes.
Wouldn't feel just entitled to it.
Yes. And you know, in conversation as it relates to customer service, I will go so far as to say that in the government industry, it is the minority of times that you walk in to one of those organizations and receive exceptional customer service. And I feel that the level of entitlement there is a whole lot higher than private organizations. And I'm not, you know, it's not to offend anyone. It's really just what the reality is. And, you know, it's like, we are doing them a favor by coming in there and not they doing us a favor by being there, you know, and just the just generally though, not just government alone, but when I think about the lack of processes and procedures that exist in so many businesses to help guide their employees so that they know this is our standard operating procedure, this is our complaints resolution process, and we're going to come to that in a minute. But in the absence of those standard operating procedures, in the absence of those policies, in the absence of those guides, people naturally know for resolution. Yes. They'll revert to what they naturally know, what they've grown up, what they grew up doing, which may not be the best thing for your business. The text message came in and says that a toxic work environment is 1, mold in the building; 2, no pay raise; 3, take out national insurance and don't pay it. Taking it out of people's salary and not paying it to national insurance, cussing out your employees, low pay, a clean environment motivates people. I have a texter also saying, what would you do as an employee who has been working for 8 years without an increase? You put in a request for a salary increase, but your employer does not acknowledge it.
Wow. 8 years.
8 years. Well, Dexter, you're asking me a loaded question, and I really hope you're prepared for my answer. Because in a situation like that, I want to remind you that you hold the power. Right? Yes. You definitely hold the power. 1, you submitted a request. If you did any follow-up, if they've not responded to your follow-up, then that's an answer, right? Mm-hmm. There is no answer. You followed up. There is no answer. Then that's your answer. This now means that you have 2 choices. 1 is to remain where you are and be disgruntled and not be happy and build some of those transferable skills, seek opportunities for advancement, either in your organization or outside of your organization. There's one thing I want to encourage you not to do is to sit down in victimhood and believe that this is happening to you and you have no control. You have control. Right. Go ahead, Deborah. Right.
I also wanted to know if the caller found out exactly what was the reason that he may not have been promoted during those 8 years. Was anything explained to him? Because if he is working and performing, if he is getting a performance appraisal every year that indicates that he is doing an excellent job or that he's actually performing his duties, then what is the reason? Was he told exactly what the reason may be? And then other than that, I totally agree with you. You know, understand your worth and move on.
Correct.
Move on.
And you know, Deborah,
I know that's easier said than done today.
And a process.
Have some plan.
Yes, it takes a plan.
People do not appreciate you until you are gone, unfortunately.
Yes. And you know what, Debbie? Sometimes people are in these, they're in bad situations because they're working on jobs where their expectations have not been set. They have not been given goals, have not been given performance mandates. And so there is no performance review, right? Uh-huh. And so some people are placed in that bad position where they don't know what's expected, but yet there is this conversation of, you did not meet my expectation. I mean, the text messages are blowing up, so I want to get to some of them.
Okay.
The text is saying, why in the Bahamas do people in charge could cuss at you, but in the U.S. you could be sued or killed. The texter is also saying that, you know, they get great service at government establishment because they carry the blue marlin. And you know what? That for me is a huge problem because I shouldn't have to tip you to do your job, but I understand if you want it done in our culture, you might definitely have to be giving an extra tip. A next text message is saying, good afternoon. People are offended by everything nowadays. Speak the truth and let them get offended. Customer service here is abysmal. Is that how you pronounce it? But I put the onus on the bosses and supervisors because it starts at the top. Another text message is saying, as simple as greeting a customer is missing. So simple. Any and everyone, I assume, is being hired due to the economic environment, but it's damaging businesses. More training is definitely needed. Also, increments and raise is expected, or employees feel entitled to without improvement in their qualifications or service attributes. Most people feel that the mere fact that they have been in an establishment for so many years entitles them to promotions without improved qualifications and degrees. Charlie's text messages, y'all on point today. Thank you so much for your engagement and your participation. Deborah, let's talk about, because, you know, we're hearing so much from our listening audience, and all of these things impact our ability to really connect with our customers and provide exceptional customer service. As a corporate trainer, what advice would you give to business establishments to elevate their levels of service? One, by outlining the expectations, and two, about their customers.
Okay. What advice would I give? Definitely when you talk about outlining exactly what their expectations are, a lot of employers, as you said earlier, they don't actually tell their employees exactly what they expect of them. And then when the employee does something quote unquote wrong according to them, but the employee did not know, and unfortunately the employee is disciplined for it. You should never feel as if your employee is supposed to know these things. Mm-hmm. Explain everything, as I talked about earlier, in terms of if your company has a vision, which it should, vision, your values, etc. Explain all of that to your employee initially, they are actually hired. Let them know exactly what your expectations are when it comes down to the dress code and everything. Don't take anything for granted, assuming that employees are supposed to know. Once you let them know your expectations, and not just letting them know your expectations, but it's always good to have these things in writing. Let them have something in hand to say that these were explained to me in terms of the company's policies, in terms of the procedures, those rules, those regulations, etc. You should have all organizations, I don't care how small the organization is, no matter how small the business is, in writing so that you would be able to explain it to your employees when they are hired. Let them make sure that they understand exactly what you expect of them. And what was the second part of the question, the question?
I wish I could remember. I know we're talking about what they can do. The question was just too long because I don't remember. But I think that those are really great suggestions for employers. I want to go so far as to say, if you are a business owner, if you run a company, if you have employees and you have not provided them with an employee manual, address code, standard operating procedures, if you have not given them onboarding training, if you have not giving them customer service training so that they understand your vision, your mission, and your values, you have failed your employees.
You have.
You have failed your employees because you have not set them up to be successful. The way that your business is successful is when you make sure that every single employee understands why you are in business. If they don't understand the why behind the what, you're failing again. So it's important for your employees to understand why they need to come to work outside of the what's in it for me principle, because they get something, but the business also has to. Mm-hmm. You fail your employees if you give them performance evaluations, but you've never given them a performance outline. You're failing your employees. And you're failing your employees if you are allowing lack of accountability in your workplace, if you are giving tacit approval, if you're seeing that they're not doing things correctly and you're not helping to correct them, to train them and to mentoring them, you're failing your employee, but you're also failing your business.
Yeah.
You know, a texter is texting in to say employee expectations should be in their job descriptions. If there is none, employees should get to it and ensure that it is in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've said how employers fail employees, right? We have said that. Let's talk for a second. Well, let me just read this text message first. No, ma'am. No acknowledgement of her request. This is the person responding to you that nobody ever acknowledged her request. She is requested to do a course, or he, because I'm not sure of the gender, but they wanted you to do something specific to your department, but the course can be used in the establishment. So this person feels like there is no upward mobility involved.
Mm-hmm.
So let's help her talk about how the employer can fail the employee. So we know now that employers can help their service levels and help elevate their own businesses by onboarding their employees properly, by providing those dress code manuals, the standard operating procedures, their customer service processes all outlined from the customer walks in the door until the customer leaves. What is the expectation you have of your customer, of your employee? You set them up for success by providing them with that information. Now, let's say that an organization has done that, and now we have an employee who's not living up to that. Let's talk about the employee's responsibility, because it isn't all the business's responsibility. You know, they've hired you, they've given you the standards, they've asked you to enact these standards for customer service satisfaction. What is the employee's responsibility? How can the employee now take that and deliver the type of service that the business is expecting?
Well, definitely too, onus is on the employees themselves as well to ensure that they are doing, once everything, like you said, is doing exactly what is expected of them. Also too, in terms of improving their skills, taking time to actually learn more, to grow, to, if you need to improve your skin in a certain area, taking time to take, or taking that initiative. If there's someone that you admires on the job, someone that you feel like you can learn from, sit with that person during slow periods. Find out exactly what is it that you can learn from that person. Offering to assist whenever. Sometimes people sit on the job, okay, whatever I have to do is done. I may have another hour or two left on the job, but my work is finished. Employers like to see when you take initiative, when you go and find out, is there anything else that I can do? When you ask about possibly cross-training, learning in another department, all of these things as employees, we have our expectations too. We expect a lot, but what are we doing to ensure that these things happen? I'll be sitting there and complaining all the time. Employers don't want anybody who's just there complaining all the time. They want someone who is adaptable, who is willing to change if necessary, to pivot in a certain area. All of these things employers look for as well. So I do agree with you, DeQuessa. So many times we look at what the employer is doing wrong, but as employees, we need to take responsibility for ourselves as well to ensure that we're doing exactly what it is that we're supposed to be doing and working on improving ourselves as well.
Absolutely. You know, I want to talk about that for a minute, but before we do, I want to go off to a break. And while we're on that break, I'd like to ask our texters to answer the question of whether they believe it is the organization's responsibility for their personal growth and development, or if they believe in money to level up their skills. So to contribute to what we're talking about today, text 422-4796 or call us on 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. We'd really love to hear from you. We'll be back right after this break.
Work, 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 work. It's a me heavy work, 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 work. You see me do me there, there, there.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Burger King Nassau is taking spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or a crispy chicken filet topped with chipotle sauce, guacamole, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, and tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja sandwiches at Burger King Nassau pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwich are only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
And welcome back to the Hit Back, hosting today's show. My special guest today is Deborah Pratt from DAPS, Corporate Training Services, based in Grand Bahama. So happy to have you on the show here today. Before we dive back into our conversation, I'd just like to share a notice from the Ministry of Health that's really saying COVID-19 vaccines and boosters are now available at South Beach Clinic on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. On Wednesdays at Flamingo Gardens Clinic from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., Elizabeth Estates Clinic from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., and Fleming Street Clinic from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Marlette Marathon, Monday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You may also get vaccines and boosters. Please visit vax.gov.bs to book an appointment or simply walk into any of our locations. Deborah Boy, listen, Ali have a...
what is good old song say?
And I'm sitting here saying, boy, you better treat me right because I be working hard for this money, right?
Exactly.
So before we went off to the break, we were talking about whether it is the employer's responsibility to invest in the development of their employees. What's your position on that?
Well, my position on that, if you have a job where the employer is willing to invest in developing you, that's awesome. That's great. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of that. However, I don't think employees should feel as if it's the employer's responsibility. Remember that the skills that you learn, those skills make you, they go with you anywhere you go. So you may be on a particular job and you decide that you want to invest in yourself, especially if it comes down to soft skills, so communication skills, customer service, leadership skills, et cetera. Those are transferable skills. You can take them anywhere. So why not take advantage of investing in yourself or learning as much as possible as you can? Because if it's not appreciated on the job that you are on, that's within you and you can use those skills anywhere. So never feel as if, well, if they want me to improve, they should be investing in me. If there is an opportunity in yourself, invest in yourself because you're not always going to be, or you may not always be on that job, and you can take that investment and those skills anywhere.
I love that answer. I really, really do. And I want to appeal to people who are working in jobs that they are not happy at. I want to make an appeal to you to really tap into your power and to recognize that you have a choice. The decision to stay at a job that's sucking the life out of you like a vampire is a decision that is being made to make a different career choice or to change positions or elevate in your organizations really requires that you take the time to invest in yourself, power yourself up by giving yourself access to new information, certifications, invest in your personal development, learn and grow, because the more you learn and grow, the more opportunities will come your way.
Yes.
If you're on a job and that job is saying, you know, you're capped at a certain salary, you're capped at a certain position, always understand that there is a choice. It may take you longer to get into a higher leadership position or to source greener pastures, bearing in mind that the grass isn't always greener. But just to understand that there are some to level up your own life by investing in yourself and not waiting on somebody else to make that investment in you.
Yes.
I have a texter saying, I decided to complete the course on my own and pass. They ask you to look for a course you're interested that at least deals with the company. So I don't understand. They say that they would pay. Yeah, but I celebrate you for still taking the course and completing that course because, like, you know, Mrs. Pratt said, when we avail ourselves of new information and we invest in ourselves, it's something no one can take from us, and it's information that we can now use to elevate our lives. Our general unhappiness on jobs, particularly in the service industry, does not give us the right to mishandle our customers. If we are unhappy on our jobs, we're failing ourselves, and we're jeopardizing our own livelihood when we are good to our customers, when we give, substandard service, we're failing ourselves and we're giving our organization a bad reputation. We're hitting the organization with a loss of revenue, and the loss of revenue could really swing back to me, and it's a downsizing situation, and it could ultimately mean that you have no job. And so don't fail yourself. Don't allow yourself to get to the place of saying you're not going to give great service because this job is A, B, and C. And then the other thing that I want to share with you is that your personal brand is your stamp. Like, it is your personal stamp in any interaction with a customer. And so when you interact with that customer, you don't know if that customer will be your next boss, if that customer could be an investor in your company, like if that customer can be someone that can lead you somewhere else. And because we don't know who we're interacting with, how they're connected, we fail ourselves by not building proper relationships with those people and putting a stamp of excellence in that interaction. Go ahead, Deborah.
Yes, and when you said that, that reminded me of a story that I heard before. There was this young lady, she was working for a particular company. And because, as you said, she built her brand in terms she gave, someone that frequented the company that she worked for offered her a job at their company because they were so impressed with the service that they gave. They brought her over to their company and offered her so much money, so much more money, so much more in salary because of the type of service that they gave. So people are watching and they're recognizing you. And as you said, you never know who you are dealing with. You never know, okay? So it isn't that you're doing this because you're hoping that someone pulls you over to their job, but you, this would be something that's embedded in you when it comes down to giving that excellent service.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about this final point on customer service. You and I both train companies with customer service. And for me, the biggest part of customer service is communication. Customer service is about relationships. And the core of every relationship is trust and communication. If trust and communication is broken in that relationship, recovery is really hard. And so as it relates to service or for the customer service professional, the biggest part of communication is our body language. How does the body talk? What does the body communicate?
The body communicates much more than people think. Often when we hear about communication, we only think about that verbal part of it in terms of the actual words that we say. But the body communicates a lot. The body says a lot. So when you are dealing with your customers in terms of customer service and body language, they are also observing your body language as you're speaking with them. Are you giving them eye contact? Being able to look a customer in the eye as you're talking to them. Are you giving them that eye contact? What is your facial expression saying? Your facial expression is speaking. All of these things go a long way in the service that you give. So that facial expression, giving them that eye contact, even your stance, when we talk about customer service, it is said that if you are serving a customer and you're standing up with your arms folded, you're not open. You're not ready to serve. So even that stance with that arm fold, it's as if you're not there. You're not ready to serve. You don't want to be bothered. So knowing how to stand properly, all of these things go a long way. Let me talk about your body language. What is it? Your body is saying a lot.
Okay.
And knowing how to actually open your mouth and speak, your customer is asking you a question. You know, a lot of the young persons may have a habit of just shrugging their shoulders, etc. Speak to that customer. Open your mouth and actually speak to that customer. But body language goes a long way as well.
And if you research it, you know, you would actually realize that 93% of the way that we communicate has nothing to do with the words that we say. Because 55% of the way that we communicate is pure body language. Yes. And then 38% of that communication is our voice tone. When I was a little girl, I could cut it. My Grammy voice tone used to change with how she called my name. And I knew I had to go put on another pants. So I had on two pants for that beating because the tune also is important for the customer service professional.
Definitely.
Carla, welcome to the Hit Back. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you. First time, Carla.
Welcome.
So I agree with your guest that you have there, wholeheartedly, especially when it comes to I think she said between like the grade of 1 to 10, the customer service in this country is about 4. Yeah, I would say that's about right, and maybe even less. And to add to that too, I know this is a lot of young women too. The customer service is horrible in some of these business establishments. And, you know, I just hope, that there's a way that we can grow and we can, improve the services here. And I would also like to point out as well, this is an establishment that they close 5 or 10 minutes before the time. And, you know, isn't that a part of customer service as well?
Yes,
like if you say you're going to close 5 p.m.,
yes,
should you close exactly 5 p.m. and not 5 minutes or 10
yes,
minutes too?
Yes.
So, you know, those are just my point I wanted to get across.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having
thank
the courage
you.
To be a first-time caller. We appreciate you.
And in line with what he said in terms of the time, you coming in there 5 to 5, sometimes, again, going back to body language, they may be rolling their eyes, et cetera. Where's this customer going? The company closes at 5.
Mm-hmm.
So you should not be locking up and hoping that no customer come in. As long as that door is still opened and it's before 5, I can come in,
yes,
and you are obligated to serve me.
Yes.
And all of this is a part of giving that excellent customer service.
Yes.
But sometimes the employees themselves may display a negative attitude. They look at you as, where are you going? You think you couldn't come in here earlier?
You're so right. Boy, the body really could talk, tell you all kind of things, right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
left up to your customer to interpret. Right? So we have a texter saying, I don't mean to harp on this, but this sense of entitlement that employees have from employers in a lot, there's a sense of entitlement without qualification, though. We really need to make employees understand that persons are in the business to make a profit. But if you show that you are worth better pay and promotions by improving your skills and what you have to offer, no sensible employee would let that employee leave, but with joy reward them or promote them, right? So you have the opportunity, what the text is really saying, you have the opportunity by leveling up your skills and investing in yourself and building a relationship with that business to help yourself advance within that business, you know. And I agree with you, while there is no employee that can't be terminated, there are some that businesses think hard about letting go. So you also want to place yourself in a position where if they say, we have to let a few people go, you're one of the people that they say, no. We have to keep that particular person, which is going to be based on your performance and the value that you bring to you.
Right.
So, Debbie, as we get in the wind down of our conversation now, talking about customer service and what's the heart of, you know, poor customer service, can you share with us how companies can find you who need support in customer service or you know, and some of the, I guess, how your training works?
Okay, I would be happy to do so. I would be happy to do so. In terms of how my trainings work, I love interactive sessions. I love interactive sessions. So I'm not just there talking. We have discussions. It is said that adults learn best when they can be a part of that discussion, when they can share their experiences, when they can share their stories as well. I love role plays. I love all of these things in terms of having an interactive session. So in my regular trainings, you can expect a lot of interaction. I would share the information based on when I train in soft skills on the whole. My passion is really customer service, but any soft skill I train on, leadership skills, communication skills, team building, etc. So you can expect to get the information, but besides just getting the information, coming to a training that I'm putting participate, I love full participation as well. Now, you would have said earlier too that I can do virtual training as well. I love face-to-face, in-person training. However, if the training has to be done virtually, that is something that I have adapted to over the past 2 years due to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I can do virtual trainings as well. And I can also make those virtual trainings a bit interactive as well in terms of breaking in people into breakout sessions, et cetera, trying as best to encourage people to participate virtually as well. In terms of how I can be reached, my business telephone contact is 806-806-0672. You can find me on social media on Facebook, that's DAPS, capital D, capital A, capital P, capital S, DAPS, Corporate Training and Business Services. On Instagram, SBUSSERV at DAPS BizServe. I'm on LinkedIn as Deborah Pratt. So you can send a message to any of those and I will definitely respond right away. Anyone who says they need training, I am always ready and willing. You want to fly me out? I am ready. My bag is packed.
My bag stay packed. Girl, my bag stay packed.
But I really love what I do. I'm really passionate about it. And it is really my desire to see companies understand exactly how important, especially customer service,
yes,
is, and be willing to actually invest in their employees and giving them customer service training.
Absolutely, Debbie. I appreciate you so much today. You know, as a corporate trainer who also specializes in customer service, having you on the show today really is a demonstration of how we can be passionate about our careers and still very much be supportive of each other, complement each other, and not competing. That complementary relationship where having the attitude that there is enough for everyone in the passion and feel that we do. So thank you so very much. We will be back right after this break.
You can tell she ain't lazy by the way she move her body. I asked her for a dance. This could be my only chance. The little may turn into romance. We started all slow.
Water Sewage Corporation advises its customers in New Providence and the Family Islands that the corporation will commence mass disconnections beginning Monday, March 28, 2022, on all outstanding accounts and financial agreements. Customers who have not honored their financial agreements are advised to visit their local offices to update those agreements as soon as possible. And all customers are further advised to bring their accounts up to date to avoid the disconnection of their water and sewage services without further notice.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options. And you set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. That's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Tuberculosis, or TB, is an airborne disease that mainly affects the lungs. When people infected with TB cough, sneeze, sing, or laugh, droplets with the bacteria that causes TB can be released into the air and may affect others. Some people are at higher risk of developing the disease if exposed to the TB bacteria. If you were in close contact with someone with active TB disease, recently traveled to a country where TB is common, have uncontrolled HIV/AIDS, are malnourished, live or work in a hospital, prison, or nursing home, or are a child under the age of 5 years old who was in contact with someone with active TB, you may be in the tuberculosis high-risk group. Contact your healthcare provider or the Ministry of Health's Tuberculosis Surveillance Unit immediately at 502-4728 or 502-4803. Tuberculosis is preventable and curable. The clock is ticking. Let's end TB.
This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
Sharp Rock jumps upon the scene with a lean and a pocket full of green. The green doesn't symbolize I made it on the top, but RoboCop last year was a shock. The tone of the Popeye cut shook your butt. Kids are screaming, the media says what? Kind of music is this for you to dance to? The man.
Welcome back to the Hit Back. It is Duquesity Dean hosting today's show. Notice from the Ministry of Health is that COVID vaccines and boosters are safe, effective, and protect you against getting seriously ill, being hospitalized, and dying from the COVID-19 virus. The vaccine offers the best protection against COVID-19 when combined with physical distancing, hand washing or sanitizing, and wearing your face mask properly. Visit vax.gov.bs to book an appointment or simply walk in to any of the locations referred to earlier. That would be the South Beach Clinic, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Wednesday is at Flamingo Garden Clinic, 1 to 5 p.m. Elizabeth Estates Clinic, 3 to 6 p.m. Fleming Street Clinic from 4 to 6 p.m. And at the Mall at Marathon, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Visit vax.gov.bx to book your appointment or simply walk into any of those locations. We have had such a wonderful conversation with you today. We have talked about what customers want. We have given advice on how employees can deliver that type of service. We talked about what's at the heart of poor service. We've shared with organizations what they can do to improve service and stop failing their employees. We've also shared with employees that they have some responsibility in their development. We have also encouraged employees to improve themselves. And we talked about body language and the role it plays in the customer service industry. As we close out the Hit Back today, I'd like to share some information with you about customer service. First point, it costs 5 times as much to acquire new customers as it does to keep those customers that you already have. So focus on retaining your customers. Otherwise, you're going to spend more money to find some new ones. That's why it's important for your employees to know your values, your vision, your mission, standard operating procedures, and policies so that you can have retention of customers versus spending. A survey on Right Now says that a bad customer service experience leads to 95% of the respondents have taken action as a result of a negative experience. And of that 95%, 79% told other people about it. Word of mouth about customer service is very much alive today. Social media has made it easy for us to learn about poor service interactions. And what is so challenging about that is we only hear one side. We hear the customer's side. And so by social media, more people are being told about poor customer service experiences, and there are a lot of organizations who are not responding to those complaints and thereby showing that they care about their customers and that they have resolved those problems. Make sure that you're focusing on having someone in your organization scan social media for mentions of your company and see if there are any poor service interactions and that you can go about resolving those challenges. Customers don't expect that there won't be problems, but they do expect that when they do have a problem, you would resolve those problems correctly. Did you know that one bad experience can cause you? This is also from the Right Now survey. 82% of respondents have stopped doing business with customer experience, and that's a big number. There are customers who just won't come back, and that can cripple your business. Finally, even though we are hearing a lot of complaints in store, in restaurant, in the business itself, a business typically hears from 4% of its dissatisfied customers. So that means the complaints that you are hearing are the minority of complaints because customers, 82% of them, have just gone elsewhere and have not given the business the opportunity to resolve that complaint. When a customer gives you an opportunity to resolve the complaint, when the customer brings the complaint to your attention, be sure that you have a complaint resolution process that your employees can follow to close that resolution that is in a satisfactory way for your customers. Again, I am Duquesa D. Dean hosting today's episode of The Hit Back. It has been a tremendous joy to have spent the last 7 or 8 weeks with you. Thank you so much for your interaction, your participation, your text messages, and your calls. Thank you for engaging in our conversations. Thank you for the welcome that you've given me as I guest host this spot. I'm not certain how long this guest spot role will continue, but I do know that I have enjoyed this relationship that you and I have been building. And even if this is the very last time that I'm in this role for this particular moment, you will definitely see me again or hear from me again. Please follow me on social media, all things Duquesa D. Dean website and all social media platforms, Duquesa D. Dean. Thank you so very much. Happy Tuesday. Enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you again to Deborah Pratt from DAPS for being here and engaging in this conversation on service. God bless you all and take care.
In a pocket full of green. The green doesn't symbolize I made it on the top, but RoboCop last year was a shock. The tone of the Popeye cut shook your butt. Kids are screaming, the media says what?
kind of music is this for you to dance to? The man with the plan and the band demands you. Leave the smack and the crack for the whack, for the ball and the knock, keep a smile like that. Leave the knife and the gun in the store and ignore temptation sent by the nation.